Failing fast, yeah.
You know, we used to start this Rambam class at 10 o'clock.
I know, remember? That's hard to believe, isn't it?
I don't know how we
and we stayed till 10:40 sometimes.
Well, let's just say it was scheduled to start at 10, but sometimes the rabbi went longer than the other class.
But
I'm
saying,
later.
You guys,
we were standing outside
like
at 10. Staring at
and now we're finishing at 10, 10:05.
Sometimes we wouldn't start till 10:10.
Dropping like flies. Okay, good evening.
Give us an inch and we take a mile.
Good evening, gentlemen. We continue with the Rambam, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Achadasor, the 11th chapter, Halacha 1, in the arts, in the Mosnayim text, it's page 196 and 197. We have two chapters to go. Our goal is to finish before I leave, which should be attainable. The next three halachas, very interesting halachas. It's going to talk about the idea of the transgression of ubechukoseim lo selechu. We're not supposed to go in the ways of the Gentiles. And all the isurim that are relevant to that. Halach Aleph. In holchim bechukos of the gachavim, we don't go in the ways, the chukim literally means statutes of the idol worshippers or non-Jews. Lo medamin lohen, we don't try to make ourselves similar to them. Lo bemalbush lo beseir, not in our clothing and not in our hair. And that means the way that you cut your hair or grow it or whatever. And anything similar to that. Shenemar, as the Torah says, you should not go in the statues of the non-Jews. It also says, you shall not go in their statues as well. And the Sifri in Parshas Acharimos says, what has the Torah in its other explanations left over for this prohibition to include? It already says, for example, you can't have your child throw your children in the fire like they do it, and so many things really tell them not to do, specifically. So what's this idea? Don't go in their statues. So it means, the Medrash, the Sifri says, not to go in their customs. Things that are a chok, like let's just like we have a chok. A chok means something that's not explainable, right? It's a missing explainable. So lahavdol, koyim got things that don't make sense either, but not certainly on Hashem's level. Let me give an example, or things that just, you know, things we do. So the example the Medrash there gives is like going to the theater or going to the circus. It was a very goyish thing. We shouldn't do those goyish things. Okay, the Rambam's not going to mention that specifically, but we'll see as we move on in the Rambam, he'll clarify exactly what he means. But in other words, it's not something we can define by saying A, B, C, D, and E is what's not allowed, because it's more of an overall trying to be like them type of thing. So there's so many different things. Let's hold off on questions.
Sports as well.
Till we get through all the halachas over here.
I had to get that one in.
Only because you don't like sports. We'll pick something you do like.
I know, you already picked theater.
Okay, anyway, so let's see what he's... and then he gives another pasuk. V'nemar, a third pasuk, says, Hishamar l'chab, guard yourself, pen tinok keshacharem, that you don't inquire after them. Hakol be'inyan echud u'amaser. It's all one idea that we're being warned against, which is, shol yedam elahem, we shouldn't try to be similar to them. El yiyah ha'yisrael muvdol mehem, but a Jew should be separated from them. V'yadua b'malbushan, should be known and distinct in his clothing, uv'shar masav, and in his other actions that he does. So again, he brings down a sifri. You shouldn't say, well, since they go out with an aftigo, it's a type of a clothing, so I'm going to go in an aftigo, this type of clothing. They go in a purple raiment, whatever, I'll go in a purple clothing. So clearly those examples are like not to follow bedafka, the styles of the goyim. Okay? Now we'll see, we'll explain a little more. But clearly, we are distinct people, and we have to be distinct. And he gives a very good example. And just like Jews are different than non-Jews in terms of our welt and shan, which is a Torah welt and shan. And in our midos, as we saw this morning, we struggled with the idea in the Navi class that if we brought down from the Ramah, that if somebody does you work for you that you didn't ask to do, and then the guy can turn around and ask you to get paid, you got to pay him, which, much to the consternation of our Western minds, cannot accept that. So just like our Torah mores and our logic and everything about us is totally different than non-Jews, right? We keep Shabbos, they don't keep Shabbos. We keep kosher, they don't keep kosher. Those are all things that we're so different than them in those ways. So similarly, we have to be different like them. Let's just finish up. And the Pasuk says, and I will separate you from the other nations, the world, because you're my nation. And if you're going to be separated, the Medrash says, you'll be my nation. If not, then you're going to be part of Nebuchadnezzar and his chevra. So just like you have that, so therefore we don't do all those things that they do in a superficial way. Has to be different as well. And therefore, he gives specifics over here now. He said in general, but now let's have the specifics. But the main idea is a Jew is different than a goy in every way, shape, and form. And just like intrinsically inside of us, and the way we perform our mitzvahs, and the way we think is different than our physical attire, and everything that's physical and external about us should be different than the non-Jew as well. So let's see some examples. Lo yilbash kemalbash hamiyuchad lahem. We shouldn't dress in the clothing that is unique to them. Now, the Rambam does not mean to, he only is prohibiting that which is unique to them, and there was a time when the Jews separated from that type of clothing for, let's say, for tznius reasons, and now if the Jew will now start to wear that clothing again after we separated, it looks like we now are kind of admitting that their way is a better way, as it were, and we're following them. But a clothing that's not unique to them, then a Jew does not have to change their clothing at all. And just like you have in your commentary from, it brings from the Ma'arik, he says that what is prohibited is the kind of dress that would encourage licentiousness. So he gives an example, say wearing red clothing that draws attention. So that's like the ways of the Amorim. And that also is connected to pagan rituals, etc. But let's say things that are totally beneficial. The example he gives is, for example, doctors wear special doctor coats, right? And you need to know when a doctor is a doctor. You have to know, pick out in a crowd, where's the doctor? So you're not doing it, you know, to be like them, but that's what the profession, you want to be able, you know, to show family that you're a doctor. You're dressed like a doctor. It's nothing to do with being like a goy. So that's a very important difference, he is saying. So what are you going to do in terms of dress? So, I mean, again, there's levels. There's the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. We can hit you on the exact letter of the law. Clearly, without a question, non-Jewish dress that is meant to be provocative and revealing, certainly Jews should not wear that kind of clothing. It's like no question about it. And then that's
for a different reason.
No, but you are dressing like them. You are dressing like them.
Are you talking about tznius, or you're just talking about... That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's clearly for tznius reasons. I mean, part of the way non-Jews dress is to be provocative. That's the way it's always been that way. And it breeds immorality, the way they dress. A lot of that lifestyle, as it were, it is an immoral type of lifestyle in the way they dress, in the way they do so many different things, and you stay away from those things. You certainly shouldn't go to a discotheque. All right? That's mamish, an immoral place, right? It's not, you know, don't go to a bar where you pick up people, right? That's clearly a place you shouldn't be going. It could very well be, you know, like the circuses and the theaters in those days, I think was different than it is now. Like the circuses were really immoral places. Maybe they're still immoral places, but I don't know. You're now, it's more of a spectator. It's like you're kind of removed from that.
Like you were saying, like Greek theater is probably immoral.
Yeah, they probably enjoy that. Like you couldn't go to a play, you know, like where they take off their clothes, right. You know, right. That kind of stuff. Or they kind of, the themes are immoral themes or idolatrous themes, and it's, you know, the whole goyish way. I mean, that's clearly everybody would agree you can't do it. Then you deal with the gray area where it's on the border, and it would be, the spirit of the law would say not to do it, but we wouldn't say you transgress the letter of the law. Like, you know, you shouldn't be looking to wear the latest styles that all goyim wear. And where the love, sorry, Ron. No, sell to goyim.
There's more than
no. That. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, we have to, we are, like the French, they say, we're a distinct society. And we have to be a distinct society. So the ones who are really following this according to the letter and the spirit of the law are the Hasidim. The Hasidim clearly dress different, and there's no way Hasidim are going to mix with the rest of the world. The rest of the world think they're crazy, and that's good. Let them think we're crazy. They don't want to have nothing to do with Hasidim because they're really dressed totally bizarre from a secular point of view. It's totally different. Right.
But how do you? What about the argument with them about where their dress comes from?
Yeah, well,
that they've
time,
copied
the 16th century.
Other dress.
Again, I clearly the way they're wearing it now is that they're different than everybody else.
Definitely.
Yeah, but back then.
And again, I wasn't in the fashion industry then, so I can't. So there must have been differences. There had to have been differences then, or unless there was nothing else to wear. If that was the only thing that you wore. That's also could be. I can't imagine that a Russian wore the same kind of shtreimel. You know, there's different types of hats to keep you warm.
But it was more the
shtreimel was more like a crown. Yeah, no Russian wore a shtreimel like a mamish Hasidic shtreimel.
I heard that they forced them to wear a beaver pellet or a thing as a negative thing initially, and then they turned it into this.
Could be, but clearly, I mean, we wear, we do things. The fact that Jews wear tzitzis, right, and really it's supposed to be on the garment.
Yeah,
and not,
we wear four-quarter garment. We used to.
Yeah, okay, well, it's hard to get them nowadays. again, obviously we can't totally change the styles. I want to wear a suit. There isn't, you know, unless I go to Borough Park, I really have to, there's not a lot of options. It's also another issue. You know, you want to wear a shirt. These are the kind of shirts they sell to the whole world, and it's nothing to do with me wanting to be a goy. If I'm not going to wear this, they don't sell togas. You know, and they're not very practical in Toronto in the winter. Right? I can't go to Moore's and say I want a toga. You know, I just can't find it. I can't find it. So I'm not dressing to be like them. And Adrab, I'm dressing, you know, very conservatively, and I'm not trying to keep up with the latest styles.
And isn't that one of the points he makes, is that if you're in, a lot of this is intention. Assuming you're dressing in a tznius fashion, if you're dressing, you know, like even if it's similar to the goyim, but it's not... You're not trying to copy what they're
right,
doing.
Okay. Yeah, you'll see in the other examples, you know, like let's say a rock star dresses a certain way. Right. You should definitely not dress the way the rock star dresses. You don't want to dress like him. You don't want to be like him. Right? And if you're going to dress like him, guess what's going to happen? Look at, unfortunately, all the nice young teenagers in this world. They dress like the rock stars and they act like them. They're on drugs and they're immoral and this and that. That's all there is to it. So that's what these people are giving off, right? So so you don't want to be like them. Once you start dressing like people, not you happen to have the same clothes, you're dressing like people, you will become like those people. There's no question about it. And that's something you gotta be like awfully careful about. Well, let's see other examples he gives. So that was just clothing, but let's say also, lo yigadol tzitzis rosho, kumo tzitzis rosho, shouldn't have certain fringes hanging out of your hair, like over the forehead. I guess they had a certain hairstyle where it hung over the head. If that's like the style, the goyish style, there was a certain time, right, when the crew cut was mamish the style. Okay, I mean, Hasidim always have crew cuts. They've always had, but no, I'm going to have a crew cut, or like those, remember those sideburns, like, you know, like that, you know, you don't, you want to be,
the Beatles as well, with the long hair, and so,
in that style, again, that's the point he's saying. You shouldn't cut the hair from the sides, and leave hair in the middle, which was called in the days of Talmud, bloris, which is also an idol-worshipping type of haircut. So again, you know, people now have these mohawks and these all Meshuggah things. You know, you shouldn't have a hairstyle like that. That's why I'm just wanting to be just like a goy. Just get a normal haircut. You don't cut your hair the way
you do. Goy wants to
do. I don't think anybody wants to be like that.
I don't know. I think the goyim are very happy to be that way. You shouldn't make, you know, shouldn't dye, a guy or a girl shouldn't dye her head, you know, dark red, you know, flashy red or dark purple
or
green. Whatever. I mean, that is clearly a non-Jewish way of acting. It's clearly not, you know, besides of it just being crazy, it's being like the goyim. Unless you shouldn't cut the hair from in front by your face, even without the issue of peyas arosh. And it seemed they would shave this area and leave a whole rat tail or something coming from the back. As that was a goyish way that they did things. Kedera shows him as they do. You shouldn't build structures similar to the structures of the idol worshipping temples that they built. In other words, similar in style, similar in make, I guess, you know, with a steeple, chves, all the ways that a goyish temple should look. And that's, for example, unfortunately, there was at a time in the early 1900s, I believe, let's say the Reform movement, they had a lot of the things in the shul were like a temple. The idea of the organ coming into the shul was to mamish be like a temple. There's a period where the Reform movement, they celebrated Sunday and not Shabbos.
Yeah. I thought the organs predated the churches. That there were organs originally in the shul years ago.
I don't think so.
Just that there was music in the base of Mikdash.
Yeah, there was music. There wasn't organs.
So
in other words, you're trying to make your shul be like their temple, same styles, and that you cannot do. And why? Because why do we not want these things? They should consubem rabim kol shemim. That lots of people should come, just like they have lots of people. And if you do any of these things, like you get lashed. Because you're transgressing a negative commandment, and many of them have actions to them, and every negative commandment you transgress as an action, you get lashed. So clearly, these are things that one has to avoid. Now, let's say a non-Jew is going to a Jew for a haircut, and he's asking for the Blowries special. So, Kaven Shegia, curve the Blowries, once he gets his Blowries, this middle area that you leave, right, so you can't do that. It's all cut around. You leave it. So instead, when you get to shol shesposchor, when you get three fingers on all sides around, show me you stop as sort of. You don't cut it all the way off, and to leave the middle, you leave more, so it does not have that blowries look, because now you'd be helping him do what he does for his idol worship.
Not a good way to get paid for your haircut, though.
So you just don't make those kind of haircuts, right? Gimel, Yisrael Shekar, but here's an exception. Yisrael Shekar of Lamalchus, let's say a Jew was close to the king. He was the Jew who was on the inside with the Caesars and things like that. And it was always important to have a Jew within the non-Jewish government because he could help avert many terrible decrees against the Jews. And he has to sit before the king. It would be very disparaging, denigrating for him not to look like everybody else. And we'll explain in a minute why. He can dress the way they dress and cut his hair the way they cut their hair, in a way that they do it. And they bring a story of one of the rabbis, Avtulus ben Ruvain. They allowed him to make that kind of haircut because he was close to the government. They also, more talks about but Ruvain ben Istrobli, that he was also someone who sat before kings, and they allowed many leniencies for them. Now the Mefarshim, it's a whole discussion how are you allowed to do this? I mean, still it's we're allowed to, for example, the rabbis are allowed to have us not do something for a reason, but to do something against the Torah, that's usually very unusual. Tell them to explicitly do something against what the Torah says. So what reasons can be for this? So again, the two classic answers are, number one, it's sakonis nefashos, Jewish lives are at stake. And if you are in front of the king and you look weird, he's not going to listen to you. Plain and simple. Another explanation is the Torah says you can't go in the ways of non-Jews. They let, just like muktzah, they leave it to the rabbis to decide how far do we make these laws apply? Is this what makes it look like a non-Jew? This what makes it look like a non-Jew? But ultimately, the rabbis decide, and if they decide that a person's in a position of government and it's very important that he is able to be effective, then we relax this, because clearly he's not doing it to assimilate and be part of the non-Jewish culture. And similarly, you know, let's say he has to, you know, how about, let's say a guy has to be in the courts. Right? If you go to, if you're a judge who goes to court in the English style, you have to dress the way a barrister has to dress, right? They have a special wig, special robe. The guy, they wouldn't let you come into court. You couldn't defend the Jew. You couldn't do anything. Couldn't.
Wouldn't that be, though, like a doctor that you're wearing your coat?
Okay, it could be also to do it with and
what
so
is he specifically talking about that you could shave your head in the way that they're doing
their style. You could do it for idol worshiping purposes, but
right.
To shave your, if that's the way they all, everyone in the king's palace goes that way, and if you want to be able to be in the king's palace and to help the Jews, you have to do those kinds of things. Listen, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to save Jews.
Christmas.
Be Mechal Shabbos. So clearly this would be a similar character. It's not that necessarily today is a terrible emergency, but you have to have a presence. You have to have a presence there at all times, because you never know when there's going to be a problem where you need to come in quickly and speak to the king and get a pardon for the Jewish people. So he has to have a certain credibility in the eyes of the non-Jews. So the rabbis would give leniencies in those situations.
So you're saying like, goes beyond dressing. Could he eat treif or like you
all right,
say,
that already I don't think. I don't think he can eat in treif. We're not that lenient.
So it's just a matter of
that you even saw that by Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They ate seeds.
Esther.
They, you know, already treif already. That's already going too far. The limits, right? Treif is Usr Midoraisa. It's like Mamish Usr. It's up to the way the rabbis interpret it. Clearly, you can't say, well, I don't really want to eat treif. What do you mean you don't really want to eat? Don't eat treif. Here, it's like, I really don't want to be like a goy, and I'm really not like a goy, but here I have to be for other reasons. Of course, if a person's going to die and the doctor says you must have treif food, you know, that's different.
Fit in.
But no, you can't. You can't eat treif food to fit in. But, you know, you can't do anything idolatrous to fit in. If they're going to say, okay, bow down to the Geshka before you go to the king, you couldn't do that either. But this one of being like the goyim, being similar to the goyim, then that we can give leniencies as is necessary. But clearly, this is a big challenge for us nowadays, because there's so many things, you know, I don't know, gotta leave it for the great Gedolim to say, you know, like even things such as, you know, going on Facebook and things like that could be possibly within the realm of B'chukosem lo teilecho, because there's a lot of immorality going on over there. And unfortunately, many Jewish kids get caught into that, and all kinds of trouble comes out of that. So, you know, and there's many Gedolim who said not to go on Facebook and things like that. On the other hand, you want to do Kiruv, that might be the only place where you could do Kiruv. So, again, you have to know how to use it and when to use it. But clearly, the idea without question is a Jew has to be proud that he's different than a non-Jew. He should look different in as many ways as possible and not try to copy the non-Jews. That is clearly the intent of the law, and one should try to keep it as much as possible. Yeah.
I just want to ask you, I know you said you're going to comment on this, that to try to look like them when you're in that inner circle, that I just want to point out in history, there are lots of instances where Jews were part of the inner circle, and it was like actually a negative to the Jewish people, like even modern history.
But were they Shomrei Torah mitzvahs? No.
No, generally not.
I know. You could have a Kissinger in the cabinet.
Yeah, didn't help.
Let's say Barbanel.
Okay.
I'm talking about Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. You know what I'm saying? A God-fearing Jew, chief rabbi of England.
Right.
Chief rabbi of England, you know, I'm sure, you know, when he goes and sees the queen, he has to comport himself in a certain way. We're not afraid he's going to hurt the Jewish people. Yeah, there have been Jews who weren't God-fearing people who got in their circles and became the worst enemies of the Jews.
No, but in this case, why wouldn't you be encouraged to, you know what, this is the way I am, and, you know what I'm saying, like, why would the non-Jews...
Because non-Jews are generally terrible people. Recently is this an aberration. You know, you can go in Canada and do your own thing, United States, or anything. This is a new chiddush. New Chiddush, but in general, non-Jews are just terrible, bloodthirsty, drunken, disgusting people.
But I think
from the top, King Henry. Right. King Henry, the way you looked at him wrong, your head went off. Right. I don't imagine King Henry, Henry VIII would tolerate a Hasidic advisor. I don't think so. You think the Tsar would? It's not Shaykh. They're just disgusting people. So you, the Romans.
I'll give you a modern example. Like for example, the Arabs nowadays. Believe it or not, I mean, they want to kill us all, but there's more respect for religious Jews than for the secular Jews. Because they look at the... I'm just telling you, they...
What do you mean, Arab? What do you mean Arabs?
Like Muslims today, like the Palestinians, the leadership, yeah. Sarah, Hamas, all these...
So what?
Is that there's more of a respect for religious Jews
from Palestinians?
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm telling you. There's less of a respect for the secular Jews because they, like, you know that famous story where the guy says he's sitting in jail and it's Pesach and this guy's eating.
Right, but I'm saying,
you know,
I don't really think the Palestinians respect any Jews, frankly.
You know, I'm telling you, I've heard it in several sources.
I mean, you could say maybe a secular, not Palestinian, person could respect an Orthodox Jew, but I'm telling you, this is a modern aberration. Historically, this was never so. And the problem with this modern aberration has a downside. They're very welcoming now of Jews.
Right.
So that's why we're assimilating like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, just until, like, Mrs. Mamish, very recent, but it was always, they hated you. They would kill you for nothing. And if you got any way in, you had a Mamish be just like them to have even a foot in the door. You know, and it was just understood that they hated Jews. And now that the new approaches will love them and they'll assimilate.
Isn't that one of the rules of anti-Semitism throughout the ages, that the more we try to be like them, become anti-Semitic?
Yes. You know,
they just rebel against us. So the more distinct we are, they respect. You know, there's at least a little bit.
That's true many times, but sometimes when you're in higher places, you know, you see it works.
Right.
You know, certain things work. Certain things. Bribery seemed to work in the Holocaust.
Yeah, they're moving.
Right?
Yeah.
Certain things, you know, you have to do certain things. You see in the times of Gomorrah, they did it. And the Romans were disgusting people. They're just disgusting people. So you want to get an audience with the Caesar. You got to look more like the Caesar if you want to get in. I'm sure this one, yeah. If we were, that's Gaulus. Gaulus is Gaulus. You're right. Nowadays, you know, you're right. You know, but still, again, I still have not seen a frum Hasidish chief of staff in the White House. I don't think that's going to happen for a while. You know, still there. It's still like in the whole Senate and in the Congress. Are there visibly Orthodox Jews?
No.
One even? I don't. Lieberman's not visibly. He doesn't go around in the kippah in the Congress.
He takes off shop.
But I'm saying it's not. I'm saying visibly, or they don't have one, even in America. Right? And I bet you there's a few Muslims who dress Muslims as congressmen, I would imagine. Even in what do you call it? In Ontario, do you have any visibly Orthodox Jews in any high places at all? No, it's just in those that are Jewish, because you're still not going to get it. You're not good. With all the tolerance, you're still not going to get it. That's all there is to it. So if it's up to saving the Jews, then, you know, you have to do what you can to try to save them. Okay, we'll stop here. Next, tomorrow we start a new topic within this. It's soothsaying and all this other magic and all this kind of stuff.
Like
you're allowed to or not allowed to.
Think about like wearing a baseball cap or something like that.